Are you guys okay with me sitting here? Do you want me to move over here, or you're okay? You good? All right. Well, I want to open up by saying God bless each and every one of you. And God and I and my wife, thank you for being here. Because there's nothing better than hearing about our Father, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and what He says about us. And tonight, the title of the sharing is simply, We Are Significant. We are significant. The world will not tell you that. No, but God does. And we'll see that in a moment. I've got a theme verse different than what is on the screen. So if you want to go to it, you can. I'm going to read this out of the Amplified. It's James 4:10. So let me turn there. And again, the title is We Are Significant. So James 4:10 out of the Amplified reads this. Humble yourselves, feeling very insignificant. If that's all it said, you go, wow, wow. But it goes on. In the presence of the Lord, and He will exalt you. He will lift you up and make your lives significant. Make our lives significant. Now, let me look at a few of the definitions of that word. So there's no misunderstanding of what this word is communicating, the word significant. It means having meaning. Do you not know that your lives have meaning when it comes to the spirit that's within and what God wants us to do by giving us a calling? It means that we are to understand our importance and the influence we have being significant with those around us. The world is ready to critique you, but not us. Here's another one. Significant means sufficiently great or important to be worthy of attention and noteworthy. That's what we are in the one body. We are significantly important, and we have a noteworthy lifestyle that we live as examples to those around us. Significant are other words that mean that are simply important, major, substantial, considerable, and meaningful. Those all apply to you and me and to the rest of God's family. Important or consequential, something that has great effect, influence, or importance. Once again, we have an effect on people when we show them the love of God, or when we help them with a situation in their lives via the wisdom God gives us through prayer, counseling, or just saying, hey, God loves you very, very much. Doesn't matter what the world is saying about you. Significant means important or very important. It can also mean large enough. We're big enough. We're big enough. And God tells us that also. This significance is what we are and who we are. Now, the ultimate significance of a person's life comes from God. That's the ultimate significance, is God says we are. Jesus' sacrifice shows just how much God places significance on our lives. What Jesus endured and went through. God wouldn't have done that if it wasn't a big deal or He didn't think we were worth that. He did. He thinks we are significant. And because of that, He allowed His Son to go through that sacrifice so that we would be set free and be significant to others around us. In this life, there are many circumstances that cause insignificant. But we must remember who God says we are. Right? Who God says we are. We're not insignificant to Him. We are significant. We have power within us. We have the ability to heal people, to minister to them in whatever area that may be. And the weight behind God's declarations, amen? A lot of weight behind what God says. After all, He's the very creator of the universe. Some of the most insignificant roles in biblical times were slaves, maids, and servants. So there were some insignificant people there. But we're going to look at something that will just push that to the side. We're going to see how this plays out in 2 Kings chapter 5 a little later. We've heard of the last one to be picked on a team because the world says we weren't good enough. I don't know if you've ever been, but I've seen it. And we aren't big enough or fast enough or maybe smart enough. So you're the last one they pick. They pick everyone else who they think is more significant than you. We are considered as insignificant in the world's eyes. As far as a son and daughter of God, of the Most High, we have been called. Why? Because God knows when we speak the word of truth, the good news, it's very significant to the recipient, those who are hearing, those who are listening. And that's what we've done in our lives. Look at Ephesians 4:1. This one I'm going to also read out of the Amplified. Ephesians 4:1, please. It says, I therefore, the prisoner for the Lord, speaking of Paul, appeal to you and beg you to walk, lead a life worthy of divine calling to which you have been called, with behavior that is a credit to the summons of God's service. We have been called and called by the Most High. God has had a plan from the very beginning for your life, for my life, and those who trust Him. And it's not insignificant. We just answer our calling. We have been called. And if you wake up one day and forget what it is or want to know what it is for that day, ask God. Ask God. Ask God. Look at 2 Timothy 1:8 and 9. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 8 and 9. So, never be ashamed to tell others about our Lord. And don't be ashamed of me either, speaking of Paul. Even though I'm in prison for Him, with the strength God gives you, be ready to suffer with me for the sake of the good news. Verse 9, for God saved us and called us to live a holy life. He did this because he did this not because we deserved it, but because that was His plan from before the beginning of time, to show us His grace through Christ Jesus. Remember how I mentioned that the smallest, weakest, or lowest of stature was the last one chosen to participate on a given team? Well, God Almighty chose that person first. The world chooses them last. God chose you first. Why? Because you're significant in the one body. You have a purpose. Let's back this up by reading God's word in 1 Corinthians 1:26. 1 Corinthians 1:26. And it says, for ye see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. Remember, the world's calling you last, not God. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. And base things of the world and things which are despised, God hath God chosen. Yes, and things which are not to bring to naught things that are. In other words, bring to nothing what the world considers important. That no flesh should glory in his presence, but of him are you in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. Sanctification comes from the word sanctify, meaning we're set apart special. We are significant. So don't ever think anything less of yourselves, because when you do that, you're back in the world's game, and we're not doing that. God's word is contrary to man's word. I'm sure you already know that. So let's see what it says in Romans 8, 30 and 31. Romans chapter 8, 30 and 31. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. What shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? So we're on the right team, see? And again, we can't let the world beat us up to the point where we think anything less of ourselves. We say, so whose side are we on? Exactly. Who chose us before the foundation of the world? God. And that's it. God, and that's it. Please go to Psalms 118:6. Psalms 118:6. As you go there, I want you to remember that when you're having a hard time and you feel insignificant or unimportant, just close your eyes and think, what does God say? We've seen a little bit of that. So in Psalms 118:6, it says, the Lord is on my side. If that's all it said, I'm good. I'm good. Who's God going to pick? He picked me. I'm on his side. I will not fear. What can man do unto me? The Lord taketh my part with them that help me. Therefore shall I see my desire on them that hate me. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in who? Man. So, like I've been stressing, don't worry about what man says about you, but be filled with joy with what God says about you and what you can do. Hallelujah, hallelujah. You and I are some of the most significant in the United States. Not the mayor, unless you're a believer. We are the most significant people on earth. You're a big deal to God. Through what he went through. He paid, I said I would never say that. He endured the ultimate price, Jesus Christ, by being beaten to where you could him and then being crucified. All because he was doing God's will. All because he believed that we were significant enough to do that. And God sure did, because he permitted him to do that. So if you ever wonder, am I significant? Just think of that. Just think of that. Before we get the record of the so-called insignificant people in God's word, like the young girl made, please go to 2 Peter 1:10. Let me read this out of the NLT. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 10. Dear brothers and sisters, God says, so dear brothers and sisters, if that's not love, I don't know what is, work hard to prove that you really are among those God has called and chosen. Again, God picked you first. Do these things, and you will never, never fall away. You are in God's family when you confess Romans 10, 9, and 10, and there's no turning back. You might slip a little bit, but just grab your mind and remember these things. And now, the rest of the story. For this, we're going to go to... Permit me to read it out of the NLT. It brings a little bit more clarity. 2 Kings 5:1. We'll start there. Okay. The king of Aram had great name of its army, because through him the Lord had given Aram great victories. But through Nabal was a mighty warrior. He suffered from leprosy. At this time, Aramean raiders had invaded the land of Israel, and among their captives was a young girl who had been given to Naaman's wife as a maid. One day, the girl said to her mistress, "I wish my master would go to see the prophet in Samaria. He would heal him of his leprosy." So this insignificant little girl maid was saying, this is what he should do. You know, they could have turned around to her and said, "Well, who are you and how do you know this person?" That's not what's important. What's important is that she stood firm on what she believed in her heart would bring healing to this man. She was significant, even though everyone said, she's just a little girl, a maid. Verse 4. So Naaman told the king what the young girl from Israel had said. "Go and visit the prophet." The king of Aram told him, "I will send a letter of introduction for you to take to the king of Israel." So Naaman started out carrying his gifts, 750 pounds of silver and 150 pounds of gold. Now, I went ahead and translated that to today's current market price. The silver today, the 750 pounds, would be worth $508,000. That's a lot of money, would you say? And as far as the 150 pounds of gold, in today's value, it would be $8 million. So he's taking both of these at $8 million and $508,000. That's a lot of cash, you know. And so the 10 sets of clothing also is what he took. Verse 6, the letter to the king of Israel said, "With this letter I present my servant Naaman. I want you to heal him of his leprosy." Verse 7, when the king of Israel read the letter, he tore his clothes in dismay and said, "This man sends me a leper to heal? Am I God that I can give life and take it away? I can see that he's just trying to pick a fight with me." Verse 8, but when Elisha, the man of God, heard that the king of Israel had torn his clothes in dismay, he sent his message to him, "Why are you so upset? Send Naaman to me, and he will learn that there is a true prophet here in Israel." So Naaman went with his horses and chariots and waited at the door of Elisha's house. Verse 10, but Elisha sent a messenger out to him with this message, "Go and wash yourself seven times in the Jordan River. Then your skin will be restored, and you will be healed of your leprosy." Hallelujah. Verse 11, but Naaman became angry and stalked away. "I thought he would certainly come out to meet me," he said. "I expected him to wave his hand over the leprosy and call on the name of the Lord and his God and heal me." So he had all this figured out in his own head. but that's not what was told to him. Verse 12, aren't the rivers of Damascus, the Abana and the Pharpar, better than the rivers of Israel? Why should I wash in them and be healed? So Naaman turned and went away in a rage. He was upset. He was upset. We're going to see why, or I'll explain to you in a minute. Verse 13, but his officers tried to reason with him and said, sir, if the prophet had told you to do something very difficult, wouldn't you have done it? So you should certainly obey him, and when he said simply, go and wash and be cured. So Naaman went down to the Jordan River and dipped himself seven times as the man of God had instructed him. And his skin became healthy as the skin of a young child's, and he was healed. Then Naaman and his entire party went back to find the man of God. They stood before him, and Naaman said, now I know that there is no God in all the world except in Israel. So please accept a gift from your servant. The reason why he became upset to go wash in the River Jordan is because the River Jordan was considered dirty. And these other two rivers that I mentioned were clean there in his home, Damascus. Why there, you know? But the irony is, he was told to dip himself seven times in his so-called dirty river, and he got cleansed. He got healed. So whatever we think is backwards a lot of times. But he was something that was going through his head that he thought was a better way to go. So the river was considered muddy and dirty, but Naaman, he was offended. And when he was told to do the dipping seven times, he became clean. He was healed. He was healed, irregardless of that. And so, like I said, the irony of this instruction was to wash in the so-called dirty river is how it cleansed Naaman and made him whole after obeying the specific instructions. How so-called insignificant people can make a difference in someone's life, including you and I. Like the little girl made that had directed him. See? Also, the boy who was the last one to be picked on a team because someone thought he wasn't good enough or was insignificant. Not in God's eyes. Not in God's eyes. Now, the one who has made the most important pick of our lives is Almighty God. The most important pick of you and I. And as far as our Heavenly Father is concerned, we were made good enough. We're made good enough. Yeah, we come in all shapes, sizes, colors, and whatever. But you are still good enough because it's that spirit that's within you. And we are significant. So, let's get out there and make a difference in someone's life. And thank you, Captain Jesus, for being the head of our team. Amen? Amen. All right. In conclusion, Let me remind us that we are significant. Amen and amen. Gracious Heavenly Father, I thank you for reminding us on how we are truly significant in your eyes. And those are the eyes that are the most important ones, because your instruction and instructions to us, we are to follow so that we can live a life that's abundant, overflowing, and just very profitable. And we can bless those around us, Father. The world may call us insignificant, but like the little girl, what we say with the love of God and with your wisdom makes a difference. So each one of us here has a significant role in our lives, a calling that we're all a part of, and we should never hesitate to do that. For you back your words, and your spirit is connected with our spirit. And Jesus Christ had many, many examples of that. And so I just thank you for everyone's heart and life here tonight, that they get sweet rest tonight. And when they wake up tomorrow, maybe the first words out of their mouth is, hey, I'm significant because God said so. End of story. So I just thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. And they all said, Amen. Amen.